It's time for the truth. Will you join me in the study of the precious Word of God that we may come to know and come to grow in the Lord Jesus? Glad that you've joined us today. We're studying today the book of Exodus, and so as we continue this study, Exodus chapter 21, and we're going to begin reading with the 26th verse. Exodus 21, 26. While you're looking that up, I'd like to share with you that this program is brought to you by the folks at Parkview Bible Church. We're located over in Hamilton, Illinois, at 18th and Church Street. We're just one block north of the Dairy Queen, and I'm the pastor, Larry Mulch. If you would like to write to us, our mailing address is Parkview Bible Church, Post Office Box 43, Hamilton, Illinois, 62341. If you would like to visit our website, you can find us at www.parkviewbiblechurch.org. Hope that that was enough time for you to open your Bibles and prepare for the study. We're going to begin reading at Exodus chapter 21, verse 26. So as you are able to follow along, why, please enjoy this. And if a man smite the eye of his servant or the eye of his maid, that it perish, he shall let him go free for his eye's sake. If he smite out his manservant's tooth, or his maidservant's tooth, he shall let him go free for his tooth's sake. If an ox gore a man or a woman, that they die, then the ox shall be surely stoned, and his flesh shall not be eaten, but the owner of the ox shall be quit. But if the ox were wont to push with his horn in times past, and it hath been testified to his owner, and he hath not kept him in, but he hath killed a man or woman, the ox shall be stoned, and his owner shall be put to death. If there be laid on him a sum of money, then he shall give for ransom of his life whatsoever is laid upon him, whether he hath gored a son or gored a daughter, according to this judgment shall it be done unto him. If the ox shall push a manservant or a maidservant, he shall give unto their master 30 shekels of silver, and the ox shall be stoned. If a man shall open a pit, or if a man shall dig a pit, and not cover it, and an ox or an ass fall therein, the owner of the pit shall make it good, and give money unto the owner of them, and the dead beast shall be his. If one man's ox hurt another, that he die, then they shall sell the live ox and divide the money of it, and the dead ox also shall they divide. Or if it be known that the ox hath used a push in times past, and his owner hath not kept him in, he shall surely pay ox for ox, and the dead shall be his own. Now, we're going to end there. I believe we're going to get further today, but that will give us a good start today. And let's go to the Lord in prayer before we begin the study. Father, I thank you for your precious reading. It's wonderful today, dear Lord, to come together and to study your word and to read your word and to look at everything as it is laid out before us here to learn how to live, learn if one harms another, what should be done. If a beast harms someone, what should be done. If someone harms a beast, what should be done. Hey, there's so many things here that we can take as our rule and our way. And I just ask, dear Lord, that you will guide and lead us through this study, that we may treat each other the right way and the proper way. So give us this leadership today. We thank you, dear Lord, that not only in this study are you giving us these rules and laws to live by, but also you're going to give us the plan of salvation. You're going to show us how to be saved. You're going to show us the Lord Jesus Christ, because as we look through every verse of Scripture, every chapter that we read brings out your Son, the Lord Jesus, so clearly. And so help us to see that as we look through these verses of Scripture. Some are very clear and some aren't so clear, but it's always present. That blood line, that scarlet thread is through from the beginning of Genesis to the end of Revelation. And we love studying your word. We love knowing more about the Lord Jesus, more about how we should walk and how we should talk, the life we should live. And please, dear Lord, show every individual that's lost today that they need a Savior. And the only way they're going to know that they're lost is if your Spirit, if He will convict their heart today as they're listening to your word. They have the convicted heart of their sin. It shows them that they're a sinner, they're lost, they're dying, they're going to die in their sin and in their trespasses. And they need a way out. They need a Savior. And then we know that you don't just abandon them. Today, so much of our the psychology and the principles that are taught today, they show us how wicked we are, but they have no answer. Well, Lord Jesus, you are our answer, and we must come to you and trust in you. And so please today, please that we come by faith to you for salvation, and we begin that wonderful life, life eternal. For the first time, we truly have life. Prior to that, we're actually dead because we're dead in our trespasses and sins. And so please show us your way to life and show us the way to live and help us to enjoy this study today. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. We begin here, and as we look through these verses of Scripture, I probably should have read a couple verses ahead, because that's the most common verses that you hear. You've heard them many times: an eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth, a hand for a hand, a foot for a foot. You don't hear the one that says burning for burning, wound for wound, stripe for stripe quite so much. But an eye for an eye, and so as we look at those statements there, what that means is the judgment has got to fit the whatever the penalty, whatever crime was committed, the judgment that is placed for that crime needs to match. If it was a terrible crime, then it needs to match that with the same kind of judgment or penalty. And what I want to stress is that people miss today, and that is, it is designed only that this judgment be brought through with a government, with a law, the county sheriff, the law of the land, the people that the government has put in charge to carry this out, the judges, our system of that sort. You know, sometimes we're kind of unhappy with that. It doesn't seem like that we get justice anymore from time to time. But we need to understand that God has ordained that. God has put that into place. And when something needs to be dealt with this eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth, please understand it is not for me. If someone harms me or harms some member of my family, it is not for me personally to go out and bring judgment upon them. It's not for me to determine what that judgment is. It is for our government to do that. It's their responsibility to come and bring proper punishment for the crime that was committed. Now, I know, again, sometimes we don't think that the justice isn't carried out, and so we take it upon ourselves. And so I just ask that you don't take it upon yourself. It is easy to do that. It is something that you really want to do. It is something that sometimes you think you feel better when you bring revenge yourself, bring that punishment on yourself, but you won't, and it doesn't answer anything. It just causes yourself to have some personal heartache and maybe even find yourself in jail because of what you have done. So please understand that the judgment should be proper to fit the crime, but the person, an individual, is not to carry it out. It is to be carried out by those that have been put in charge of that, the judges and that system there. So I want you to see that. I want you to see that very clearly. Judgment must come. Justice must be served, but it cannot be served by an individual, never. It is never served by an individual. And so we find that God he puts judges into place to determine these things. Some things he's very clear about what the judgment is. Some things it is not. It is a little bit negotiable. But we always need to see that it is not passed by the individual, it is brought by the governmental system that's put into place. And so now we begin here, and if an eye If a man smite the eye, I'm in verse 26 of chapter 21, if a man smite the eye of his servant or the eye of his maid that it perish, he shall let him go free for his eye's sake. Now, we have talked in the past that God never intended to have servants. He never intended to or have slaves. There will always be hired men or servants, so to speak, working for individuals. And there was a time limit. That time limit was 7 years. On the seventh year, they would go free. If they were under some kind of judgment to pay something back, within that 7 years was the allotted time. It could be less than that. But that period of time of seven was the maximum. It couldn't be any more than that. It could be less. If a man was doing something incorrectly and the master come and brought it to his attention and maybe did it physically, and or maybe they got in a fight, tempers raged and all of a sudden they got into a fight, and if he poked his eye and he lost his eye, that man immediately would go free, that servant would. His debt was paid at that point in time. He was allowed to go free. Tooth the same way. You know, you think of a tooth being not quite as serious as an eye, but it's still the same principle. What's happened is you have let your temper flare. Your anger, your wrath was way out of control if it got this far. And so it should have never happened. The master should have been able to control his temper and control his people without using force as this. But if it happened, why, God allowed for that so that the individual could go free. And they go free for the tooth's sake, or they go free for the eye's sake, as it says. And then it kind of gets into the 28th verse there. If an ox gore a man or a woman, that they die, then the ox shall surely be stoned, and his flesh shall not be eaten. But the owner of the ox shall be quit, or be cleared, called blameless, is the word there. And what happens if an animal would go and harm an individual? You know, sometimes I've seen that happen, that a cow or even a young calf, 400 or 500 pounds, for whatever reason, would just go crazy and charge you. And if they charged you and you couldn't get out of the road, and they would, pin you up against the wall or something or other, and all of a sudden you died because of it. Well, the owner of that animal is responsible only if he was aware that that animal was sick. That animal had that potential. Maybe he was just plain mean. He wasn't sick. He was just mean. And you've seen horses. You've seen livestock that's been that way. You've seen dogs that's that way. They're just plain mean. There's a mean streak in them. Well, if there is, then they need to be put into a pen where they can't hurt anybody. And whereas an area where someone else, and here where you would have an oxen where they would be out hauling your goods to town, out in the field helping with the farming, things like that, if you knew that that animal was mean, then you need to see that you keep everybody away from him. If you wanted to work with him, that was fine. But don't expect somebody else to be, and be prepared to pay the price if that oxen, for instance, would come and bring bodily harm to an individual. And so, today, why many of you folks may live in town and be in the city and have no idea what it's like to be around livestock. I've been around livestock all my life, and I know that there are animals that are just plain mean. There's no excuse or no explanation for them. They're just mean. They'd rather bite you or run you down than anything else. And so those kind of animals need to be dealt with. And probably the owner should have put that animal to death a long time ago, but he didn't for whatever reason. Well, we find here that the first example is that if that oxen would gore a man or a woman and they die, if he would charge them, trample them, and they die, then even the flesh of that animal is not to be eaten. And when you have an animal that is in a rage, many times the meat isn't good anyway. But God doesn't want anything to happen with that meat. When the life is taken, that's it. And so the animal can't be eaten, and the animal is immediately put to death. But let's look at verse 29. But if the ox were wont to push with his horns in times past, in other words, whether this wasn't the first time this has happened, and it hath been testified to his owner. His owner was aware of how this animal acted, and he hath not kept him in. He didn't keep him penned up to where he would not bring harm to someone, and he hath, but that he hath killed a man or a woman, the ox shall be stoned, and his owner shall be put to death. You know, we've talked about the price of a human life. Human life today has been brought so low that it has no value. The television has done that. The movies have done that. Video games that the children watch and adults too have taken life, the value of life, and brought it so low that to kill someone it just isn't anything anymore. Well, it sure is in God's eyes, and it should be in every believer's eyes, and we need to stay away from that. Those video games like that, music today brings that constant chant that they use so often numbs us to what's important. And one thing that is more important than anything, and that's life. And we have no right to take another man's life. Even if this animal, this oxen, has taken the life of this of another man or a woman, if it is the life has been taken, God holds that individual that owns that oxen responsible. And if he was aware that he could do that, that he'd done it before, not necessarily killed someone, but maybe hurt someone or pushed someone, and the owner, you know, they came and told him. But the owner didn't pay any attention to it. Well, now he's going to pay attention because the oxen's put to death, and so is the master of that beast, the owner of that beast. So you see, the life is so important. Please, you know, we have no right. The Lord Jesus Christ died that we can live. He paid the ultimate price for us, that we can live and live eternally. And for us to take that life away, and whether it was a believer or a lost person, we still have no right to do that, and we will be held accountable. And held accountable means that our life will be taken, and we know that that's been abused today by certain folks of our society. They decided that it's so awful that we would do that, and that, you know, it says thou shalt not murder. Well, that's not. Does not mean that we shall not take the proper action when someone has killed someone. Even with a beast doing it, God says the man dies because he was not responsible. And we need to realize again, it is not an individual action that's taken. It is the system, the governmental system that's been put into place to do that. It's their responsibility. And if they deny and do not do that responsibility, God will hold those individuals responsible. And so if we have a president or a governor that decides that this isn't going to happen anymore, it just can't happen, God's going to hold them responsible. There'll be a judgment held upon them for not carrying out the death sentence on so many individuals that it should have, because they've taken a life. They thought the money was more valuable. If they was robbing a bank or robbing somebody, or just like an animal that's mean, some people are that way. They're demon possessed is what it is. Well, they need to be put to death if they have taken another person's life. The scripture is very clear about that. Now we come and we look at the 30th verse. If there be laid on him a sum of money, then he shall give for the ransom of his life whatsoever is laid upon him. If there is a judgment that is made, in this case with the oxen, there was an alternative, and so they would deal with that accordingly. And now in verse 31, whether he have gored a son or have gored a daughter, according to this judgment, shall it be done unto him. The proper, in other words, death wasn't the situation here, but injury was brought on. When injury was there, then there was a responsibility of the owner of that beast to make it right. And so it was held, it was taken before the judges of the day, and God was going to put into place judges. And so right now Moses is really to be the only one that's looking at this, but that's going to change very quickly. We come in verse 32, if the ox shall push a manservant or a maidservant, he shall give unto their master 30 shekels of silver, and the oxen shall be stoned. You know, it's kind of like when someone kills somebody, that person should be put to death. Here, if that oxen comes in and rams somebody, that oxen doesn't say, well, you know, he just didn't feel good that day, or you were mean to him. It didn't matter because that oxen was put to death. And we find there was a payment made and the oxen was stoned. If a man shall open a pit, or if a man shall dig a pit and not cover it, and an oxen or an ass fall therein, the owner of the pit shall make it good and give money unto the owner of them, and the dead beast shall be his. There is always the proper, you know, if you came out and you were digging a well and you weren't finished with the well, but you knew there was other livestock around, but you didn't make any provision to protect the other livestock, you said, oh, it's my pit, you know, if they fall in, it's their own fault. Well, he was held responsible. That's what happened. They were held responsible for their actions. They dug a pit. You better cover it so that this couldn't happen. And if it did, then again, you paid. It was just right and just proper. If one man's ox hurt another's, that he die, then they shall sell the live ox and divide the money of it, and the dead ox also they shall divide. And once again, or if it be known that the ox hath used to push in times past, his owner hath not kept him in, he shall surely pay ox for ox, and the dead ox be his own. And so as we look at the action here again, it is held responsible. If two animals just get into it, and one kills the other animal, then the dead animal, they divide the meat, and the live animal, they sell and take the money, and so everybody ends up with a half of oxen, what it amounts to, but it was really nobody's fault, but if the owner knew, and once again we can use these words, hath been testified to his owner, if he knew there was trouble with this animal, and this animal killed another animal, then the animal was sold, and all the money was given to the man that lost his. And so each time God brings the proper judgment forwards here. And again, it is not for an individual to carry these judgments out. It is the government, the system that's put into place. And so when something has happened to you, please don't take it into your own hands. You say, oh, the scripture says an eye for an eye. Yes, and it should be so. But you're not the one to carry the judgment out. The law is, the law of that day, the system of that day that's put into place. And we have a system. And again, we know that it's not perfect, nor are we. But we need to be in prayer to our God that it be a fair judgment, and that justice will be served properly. And we know that we serve a just God, and that he will hold every individual and party responsible, and justice will come. Even if our system doesn't do it correctly, our God will. And so as a believer, as a Christian, we need to stand upon that, and please don't hold that grudge. Don't constantly be thinking how I can get back at them for what they have done to me. Just set it aside. Ask the Lord to give you a peace about it, that you can walk each day and serve our living God and worship and praise Him, be a good testimony and witness. And it is not easy to do that. It's not simple by any means sometimes to do that. The normal thing, the natural thing, is to get revenge, to get even. And that is not our place or position at all. And again, as a born-again believer, see that when that feeling and that desire comes, that we get on our knees and we ask our God to protect us, to take that thought and that worldly way away from us, and just pray unto our Lord that He will bring the proper judgment, and we know He will. And we'll pray that the system that is in place at the time will be proper, and if it isn't, again, our God will bring the right justice to it. And so please keep that in mind. Know that Jesus Christ died on the cross of Calvary to bring life to us. And to bring life isn't just to breathe, because we were breathing before, but life is peace and joy and excitement. And that can come each and every day, even in this God-forsaken, sin-cursed world. Joy can come into our hearts because we have a peace that we know our God is in control. And we know when even an injustice has come to us, something just wasn't right, and nobody even knew about it, God knows about it, and He will care for us. Just see, my dear friend, that you know Jesus Christ as your Savior, that if you've trusted in Him as your personal Savior, please, that you recognize that without Jesus Christ, you're going to die in your sin. I have said God is a just God, and I promise you, you are going to die in your sin unless you come by faith to Jesus Christ for salvation. Please, that you trust in Him today. Please, that you look to Him today for salvation. Ask Him into your heart. Recognize by the Holy Spirit as He's convicting your heart. If He's not convicting your heart today, it's a sad, sad day. I hope that He is. I hope through this study of looking at the law and being fair and all those things, it God's Word's God's Word. And anytime we open it up, the Spirit of God can convict your heart and touch your heart and show you not only your sin, but show you the way of salvation. Please, today, that you trust in Jesus Christ. We're going to begin, next time we'll be together, we're going to start with the 22nd chapter. It really kind of continues, if a man shall steal an ox or a sheep and kill it or sell it, or he shall restore five oxen for an ox or four sheep for a sheep. And so we're going to see a little bit of discussion here on what's fair when one takes another's oxen. Of course, that would be equal today to take a tractor or take your livelihood away from you, your ability to make a living. And God holds that very high. And we're going to be again there in chapter 22, verse 1 next week. And so next time we come together, please, that you know Jesus Christ as your Savior, understand and have a peace about the justice that is done, and even if it's so bad, so terrible, the murderer went free, or the thief went free, or nobody seems to care, please turn to God. Ask Him to give you a peace about that. He can restore what's been taken from you, and He will hold them responsible. He is a just and a perfect God. And He will see that things are dealt with correctly and properly. Actually, a better word would be perfectly. And so know that. And I hope that, you know, whatever you're going through, I hope that brings peace into your heart. As well, it doesn't give me back my $50,000. No, God can restore that if He chooses to. Many times, there's something for us to learn. Let's listen. Let's listen so carefully to our Lord. Search His Word, be in prayer to Him, and peace will come to your heart no matter what has taken place. God can restore that peace and joy if you'll just let Him. So, my dear friend, as we look at these verses of Scripture, We have finished the 21st chapter of the book of Exodus here. I hope that you have enjoyed it as much as I have. Please now, my dear friend, what are you going to do about Jesus?